So yesterday we spoke about Simin Shin Lamed Hey and the Dinim of Bikur Cholim, and we pointed out a question about whether one should be Mevaker Chola for an individual who is contagious. And we noted that the Tshuvas of the Ramah says that you should, but Chacham Avad Yosef feels that you should not, because you should not enter a Safek Sakana B'makom Vaday Sakana. The question is, though, what should you do? So some of the posts can recommend that in this situation, the way to be Mekayim Bikur Cholim is through the telephone or through some long distance method, and you can be Mekayim Bikur Cholim that way. There is a discussion, but Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva writes that Bikur Cholim Ayadei telephone is not the proper fulfillment of Bikur Cholim. If you remember, we had two reasons that are found in the Gemara in the Daf Daf Mem about Bikur Cholim. One reason is to notice the tzrachim of the chole, whereas the Prisha understood it, that means to help the chole focus better, be better relaxed, etc. And the other reason was to be able to see the chole and consequently have more kavana in your tefillah, have a better sort of davening, which according to the Ramban is the ikar kiyum of bikur cholim, such that you do not fulfill the mitzvah if you don't daven. Both reasons, l'cha'ira, you cannot be mekayim properly ayadei the telephone, because you don't really see what the chole needs. And ayadei the telephone also, it doesn't give you the same firsthand experience of encountering the chole, and therefore ayadei the telephone, you probably will not have the same proper kavanah. So Moshe Feinstein writes that in his opinion, there is some sort of kiyum of bikur cholim ayadei the telephone. You can't say it's a garnished, but it's not the full kiyum of the mitzvah of bikur cholim. Amir Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes similarly. However, in the Sefer Hazikaron for Rav Yitzchak Kotner, he on page 56, I believe. So he has an interesting idea. He discusses what does the word bikur mean when we speak about bikur cholim. So ordinarily we translate bikur as to visit. However, the din of bikur also has meaning with respect to karbanos. There's a din of gimel yamin before you bring a carbon, that you look at the carbon, you inspect the carbon to make sure there are no mumim, etc. That means that bikur cholim is a form of inspection rather than a form of visiting. That l'cha'ira is the two translations of the word bikur. Rav Huttner writes that if bikur means to visit, so you don't fulfill the mitzvah al yedei, the telephone. However, if bikur means to inspect, to check on the person, to see what the person is up to, so then you can fulfill that mitzvah al yedei, the telephone. Honestly, I'm not really sure that you can fulfill the inyan of inspection al yedei, the telephone. Oftentimes, you see a person, you get a sense of how shvach the person is or isn't. And sometimes a person does not communicate their exact way of feeling. So I don't know if you fulfill the inyan of bikur in the sense of investigating al yedei the telephone as well. Perhaps al yedei Zoom. I don't know if you guys heard, there's a thing called Zoom. I'm actually giving shiur on Zoom right now. Perhaps al yedei Zoom, it would be better, because you can actually see what the chole is up to, both in terms of the reason for Rabbi Akiva in the Gemara and in terms of the way Rav Huttner translates the term bikur. Perhaps al yedei Zoom it is better. I should note also that Chacham Avad Yosef in the Sefer Chazon Avadia points out that maybe you should not be mekayim bikur cholim al yedei the telephone, because I don't know about you, but when I get a phone call on my cell phone, I answer it. And if I'm tired, often I kind of doze off and I get a phone call and I answer it and it disturbs me. If there's a chole, let's say in the hospital, and you get a phone call, you're going to answer the phone call. Well, that might be disturbing the person more than it is assisting the person. The idea of bikur cholim is to help the chole, right? Now you are disturbing the chole. So one should be very, very careful. And it's very questionable whether Bikur Cholim is proper, Yidei, the telephone at all, because it could be it's Yatzah Scharo Behefseido. That's what Chacham Avadia points out, which I think there is a lot of truth to it. Chacham Avadia also tells a story about how someone went to be Mevaka Chola by Reb Hirsch Pesach Frank, or Tzvi Pesach Frank, and at some point Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank says, you know, you could leave already. And the guy's still staying. So Tzvi Pesach Frank tells him, you know what, the Gemara above Metzia derives the mitzvah Bikur Cholim from the Pasuk V'hodata Lahem Es HaDerech Hashem Yelchu Bo. Yelchu Bo means you have to go. Yelchu, get out of here. Right? The Inyan of Bikur Cholim is to leave as much as it is to stay. So these are some of the haros I wanted to make at the end of Simin, the end of Simin Shin Lamed Hey. If we move on from Simin Shin Lamed Hey and we go to Simin Shin Lamed Vav, which is something that we noted a bit yesterday. So the Gemara tells me, Mikan Shanitan Rishus LaRofe LaRavos. The Gemara tells me that a doctor has a Rishus, has an opportunity, an option to be Mirape, but then Shulchan Aruch writes, Umitzvahi, that it's a mitzvah. So this is already questionable. Like, what is it? Is it a mitzvah or is it a Rishus? And personally, if you'd ask me this kasha, I would say that there's not such a stira. We know that the Gemara in Brachos teaches us that Tfilas Arv is Rishus. No, Mairiv is a Rishus. But what does Rishus mean? Rishus does not mean that you don't have to daven Mairiv. I think anyone who thinks that is making a mistake. Rishus means, as Taisus points out there in Meseches Brachos, Rishus means a lower level mitzvah. Right? Sometimes Rishus does not really mean that it's completely optional, right? Netilas yadayim, as in mayim achreinim. There's a machlekes. Is it chova? Is it mitzvah? Is it rishus? Right? By mochama. There's mochemes chova, mochemes mitzvah, or mochemes mitzvah and mochemes rishus. These are in yonim of these are in yonim of kiyum hamitzvah. Excuse me for just one. Excuse me for just 1 minute. Let me. Actually, I'm not exactly sure how to do this. Oh, just wait 1 second and just pause and then we'll continue. So this is basically the idea of Rishus. If you'd ask me, there's no stira between being a mitzvah and being a Rishus because Rishus means lower level mitzvah. Nonetheless, the Taz over here is very bothered by the question, is it a Rishus or is it a mitzvah? So the Taz writes in Se'if Katan Aleph, he says, well, on the fundamental level, there should be no heter for someone to get involved and be a doctor. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam makes you sick. What heter do you have to go and try to heal the person? It's ki'ilu, you're going against Ritzon Hashem. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nitan reshus l'rofei l'rapos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what, guys, you have permission to be merape. And once Ribbono Shel Olam gives you permission to be merape, so then it becomes a mitzvah to do so. Right? That's the way the Taz and Se'if Katan Aleph puts the sugya together. On the one hand, it's a rishus, meaning first HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you can do it, and then the second stage, the consequence of that idea, is that it becomes a mitzvah l'rapos. That is the idea that the Taz develops. Now, we pointed out yesterday, just very briefly, and that there's a question whether the mitzvah l'rapos, is it a, I think Brian used the term teleological mitzvah, meaning it's focused on the result, or is the mitzvah based on the process of being merape? Nafgamina, if somebody does not actually get better, do you fulfill the mitzvah of ripui? So the Sefer Yad Avram, which is on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, is bothered by the kasha. You know, the Mishnah in Makos tells me that ha'av she hika es beno, harav she hika es talmido, right? And meis tachas yado. We don't do this anymore. But a rebbe who hits the son, a rebbe hits the student, or the father hits the son. So, and if the child or the student dies, so there's no din of galus in that case, because the mitzvah ka'asek, because you're involved in the mitzvah, and therefore there's no din of galus in that situation. So the Yad Avram is bothered by the kasha. If because I'm doing a mitzvah by teaching my talmidim, so I don't go to galus in that situation, so how come a doctor who tries to heal a person and the person ends up dying, how come the doctor does go to galus? That's the stira that the Yad Avram asks. So the Yad Avram answers that, you know what? Although a father who hits a student, although in that situation I say mitzvah ka'asik, I say that you're doing a mitzvah, that's because the process of trying to teach your student or trying to teach your son, that's a mitzvah. When it comes to a doctor, the mitzvah is the result. The mitzvah is to actually heal the person. Consequently, if a doctor kills somebody, there is galus because we don't apply the rule of mitzvah ka'asik. That's the idea of the Yad Avram in the bottom of the page of Shulchan Aruch. Dr. Lamb used to give shiurim in yeshiva, like what Rabbi Berman did last 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, on the yahrzeit of Dr. Belkin. Dr. Lamb used to always give a shiur at that point. So one of the shiurim that he delivered, which is subsequently published by Mosad Hav Kook in the Sefer Halachot V'Halichot, so Dr. Lamb points out that he doesn't think it's reasonable that the mitzvah for a doctor is only the result, is only to make the guy better. He thinks the process is also the mitzvah. And he tainas that this should really depend on the source of the mitzvah l'rofe l'rapples. The Gemara in Bava Metzia derives the mitzvah of the rofe l'rapples in the pasuk of v'hasheboso. There's a mitzvah hashavas aveda. The mitzvah hashavas aveda is not only once an item is lost that you have to return it. The mitzvah hashavas aveda is even before the item gets lost, you have to make sure it doesn't get lost. Right? In the hashavas aveda sfarim, for example, they point out that if you see your neighbor's headlights are on the car, are on, so you're supposed to go and knock on your neighbor's door and say, Reb Yid, your headlights are on. Because that's a din of Hashavas Aveda. If you don't get him to turn off his headlights, it's going to drain his battery, etc. Right? We've all been there. So there's Hashavas Aveda before the item is lost. That emerges from the Gemara that learns Hashavas Aveda as being the source of the din of being merapis somebody. You're being meshev the Aveda before it is lost. That's the Hashavos solo. Right, there's a din of Avedas Gufo also. However, there's another source that we just spoke about a minute ago. Virapa Yirape, Mikam Shnitin Rishos L'Roife L'Rapples. That's a different source. So Dr. Lamb says, in his opinion, if you hold that the source of a doctor healing somebody, which as we pointed out yesterday is like the apex of Bikra Cholim, if you hold the source of that is from Hashavas Aveda, so as such, the mitzvah is the result. However, if you hold that the mitzvah is based on virapa yirape, so the mitzvah is on the process, not the result. Again, I think it is actually debatable because we know that a shomer aveda is also mekayim a mitzvah. No? The Gemara tells us in a number of places that osek mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah applies to a shomer aveda. That's not at this moment I'm actually returning the aveda. I'm just protecting the aveda. I'm just in the process. So if the ani comes by to collect stuck at that time, then it's osek mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. I'm being osek in the aveda. I'm not returning it to you then. I'm just in the process. Nonetheless, the din is that you are osek b'mitzvah. So I don't know if hashavas aveda indicates that it's necessarily a result-oriented process, but nonetheless, Dr. Lamb's ha'ara, I think, is a good ha'ara. I think it's a good ha'ara. The pashtus is not like the Yad Avram. The pashtus is that the doctor fulfills the mitzvah even when the person does not become healed. I think that's the pashtus of the din. The inyanim of tzava'a that we mentioned yesterday, just very briefly, the practice of Klal Yisrael for many, many hundreds of years, perhaps since the beginning of Klal Yisrael, is that you don't just give a tzavah in terms of financial matters. When you write a tzavah, you should also include those inyanim in ruchnius and Torah that are essential to you. Though the ideas of Musar, of Torah, that are most important, that you want your family to remember, that should also be included in the tzavah. By Avram Avinu, ki yedate romana sheyitzav, esbonav, esbeso, achara v'shamru derech Hashem, lasot tztoko mishpat. Right, that's essential to Avram Avinu. That's the inyan of a tzavah. My grandfather began his tzavah by writing from the piyut of, I believe, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Shapur Maaseichem Ubris Al-Tufar. Right, that's the letters of Shofar. That's why we say it on Rosh Hashanah. Shapur Maaseichem, be nice, be good, be fine people. Ubris Al-Tufar, keep the Torah, don't revoke the Torah and the mitzvahs. You should write a line or two about those in Yonim, which are most essential to you. That should also be part of the tzavah. Again, we're trying to just go through the dinim. That is Simin Shin Lamed Hey. Shin Lamed Vav is the dinim of a rofe. Technically speaking, a rofe, a doctor, should not receive any money. The Gemara Bechoros and elsewhere teaches us Ma'ani Bechinam, Afot HaBechinam, just like the Rabbona Shalaylam didn't get paid for giving us Torah. You can't pay the Rabbona Shalaylam. It's all his. Kalar, it's Kvodo. Right? It's all his anyway. You can't pay the Rabbona Shalaylam. Afot HaBechinam. So when we do mitzvahs, we should also not get paid. A doctor gets paid. It's only a star batal, like we pointed out, because he could have been a lawyer. Otherwise, the same as a Rebbe gets paid. Right? A Rebbe also gets paid just because of the Skar Batola, that had you decided not to become a Rebbe, so then you would be probably earning a few more bucks than you are as a Rebbe. That's a different conversation that we could have on a different occasion. Technically speaking, you're not allowed to charge money for the giving of medicine, but if you made a deal beforehand, so then the recipient is mechuyev to keep his end of the bargain. That's Shin Lamed Vav Se'if Gimel. Because there was a deal made beforehand, you're allowed to do it. You should not raise the price of medicine beyond the market. It's very hard to know the market in today's world. So that's already a larger question. What's considered the market rate? I know some medicines, an EpiPen, I think, costs like $400 per EpiPen. No? And I think insurance does not cover much of it. You have to know what's considered the going rate for medicine. There's something that's famous called the Heinz dilemma. If the medicine is too expensive and you can't afford it, are you supposed to steal the medicine or not? And if you do steal the medicine, what is considered the appropriate rationale and reasoning for stealing the medicine? That's like a question of moral philosophy. All of this is related to Shin Lamed Vav Se'if Gimel. Shin Lamed Zayin tells us that we have to be very careful when someone is near the end not to make the person sad. And therefore, you don't tell him shemes lo mes. You don't tell him if a relative died. Even the Achreinim say, the Beis Hillel writes, even if you're a child of someone and you're supposed to say kaddish le'iloi nishmaso, we don't tell you mes lo mes. That might make you depressed, and that will take away some of the life. You don't even tell them that someone else died. The Shach points out, we don't want to do anything that will make the person sad. You don't cry. You're not maspid. You try to keep the chole in good spirits. Simin Shin Lamed Ches is actually the hardest thing that I did as a Rav. It's much harder to say vidui with someone than it is to bury the person. Burying the person, okay, it's not easy. There are certain mitzvahs, like Rav Schechter's Nosuch is, that there are some mitzvahs like Achilas Matzah, and the other mitzvahs like Achilas Mar. There are certain mitzvahs that really taste bad. But, okay, so that's burying a person, but it's very, very hard to say vidui with a person, especially because it says in Shulchan Aruch that you can't cry when you say vidui. You shouldn't say it b'fnei nashim uktane, with people who are, the Gesher Chaim points out, people who are too emotional shouldn't say vidui. You're not supposed to cry and deject the person. it's not a simple question about how you say vidui. Usually the proper way to say vidui is that you say it in an encouraging way for the chole, meaning to say, you tell the person, listen, you know, there's a school of Arichas Yamin. There's a school life. We want you to have a long life. You want to have a long life. The school of Arichas Yamin means you say vidui. It's a skula. In this course of saying vidui, you're going to have a long life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you more and more time. Right? We say these types of things, right? That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, right? Harbei hisvadu velo mesu, etc. That's what it says. You try to encourage the person al yaday the saying of vidui. You want to encourage the person. You want to tell the person that it's appropriate to come to a place of comfort yourself, forgive all those who may have hurt you, to etc. Acknowledge your ills, the things that you did wrong. This is not a depressing thing, but it's an idea to remove unresolved conflicts. And this is all proper. B'shas Misa, this is all proper for the Indian of vidui. There's a machlekes hachreinim that the Shach references here in Se'if Katan Aleph about whether you say the expression of kohamumsim misvadim. Machlekes in the Bach and the Prish, I believe, the Shach quotes. And that has an afgamina in terms of when you do the vidui. If you say kohamumsim misvadim, if you approach the chol and you say, listen, everyone who's going to die says vidui. So the chol is going to say, okay, I'm going to die. So that will deject the chol. But if the nusach is that you don't say kol mumsim misvadim, so then there's less of a concern of dejecting the chol. According to the Bach, that kol mumsim misvadim is part of the nusach that you say. So therefore you say vidui at the last possible moment. But if you do not have the text, like the Shach quotes on the Prisha, if you do not have the text of Shekhar Mimsim Misvadim, so then you say the Vidui even earlier. But the Pashtus in the Shulchan Aruch is that you say the Vidui when someone is Nata Lamos, when someone is already on the way out. That's when you say the Vidui. You don't say the Vidui beforehand. Obviously, it's a good idea to say Vidui earlier. The Mishnah teaches us Shuv Yom Achas Lifnei Misascha, that you're supposed to do tshuva, and you're supposed to say vidui before you die. But l'cha'ayra, that's like a midas chasidus, that's a nice thing, that's doing tshuva. Shuv Yom Achas Lifnei Misascha is not the real inyan of the vidui of a shchiv merah. The vidui of a shchiv merah is a different sort of vidui, and that vidui is done only when the person is nearing the end. That seems to be the pashtus in the Shulchan Aruch. The Gesher HaChayim notes that the minhag in the Shari Tzedek hospital, and he says this is a very good minhag, is that every day somebody would walk through the halls of Shari Tzedek hospital and would say vidui out loud. Every day they'd say the vidui out loud. So the cholim wouldn't think that, oh, they're saying vidui because I'm on my way out, because I'm dying, and the cholim won't get dejected thinking he's dying and give up hope. Because this is what they do. Every day in the hospital, they say, the vidui. The Gesher HaChaim says this is an appropriate practice that should be done. One of the questions about the vidui is, well, let's first talk about the fundamental question. You know, the Beis Yosef over here, when he talks about the vidui of the Shchiv Merah, the Beis Yosef quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin Memvav, which is about Harugei Bezdin, that we learned from Achan, that Achan was Moel in the Shlal of Yericho. So Yehoshua ben Nun tells Achan, the ten toda, that you should be misvada. So we learn the dinim of Harugei Bezdin, right, that they are misvada. We learn that from Achan. And based on that din of Harugei Bezdin being misvada, so we also have the din of vidui of a shchiv merah. That's the way the Beis Yosef quotes the halacha. That's the source of the din. The Rambam includes the dinim of avelos, interestingly, in Sefer Shoftim. No? Again, one of the questions Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik always points out is that in order to properly understand the Rambam, you have to first figure out which book of the 14 books, it's called Yad HaChazaka because there are 14 books, which book of the 14 books does the Rambam include this din in? Right? How come Hilchos Milos and Sefer Ahava? It's a question, right? It's a question. Why is Hilchos Avelos, or Hilchos Avelos, as the Rambam calls it, why is that in Sefer Shoftim? So the Rambam tells me in the Koteret at the beginning of the Sefer that because there's a din of Haruge Bezdin and there's a discussion about whether the Mishpacha of the Haruge Bezdin is Misabel or not. So that's why we include Hilchos Avelos in Sefer Shoftim. Some of the people call this the filing problem. If you have different files or different cabinets, sometimes there are things that don't neatly fit into a particular file. Hilchos Avelos doesn't neatly fit into any of the Svarim of the Yad HaChazaka. So the Rambam tells me why Hilchos Avelos is in Sefer Shoftim. That also would indicate that we are learning Dinim of Avelos from the Inyan of Haruge Bezdin. We learn Vidui, the Beis Yosef says from Haruge Bezdin. The Rambam includes all of Hilchos Avelos in Sefer Shoftim because it's all about Haruge Bezdin. Shoftim is about Inyanei Bezdin, etc. That indicates that these dinim are connected. Nonetheless, the Sefer Beis Hillel on the side of the Shulchan Aruch writes an interesting yesod. The Beis Hillel writes that in his opinion, the two Viduis are different. If you go through the vidui in Shin Lamed Ches, we say you should do vidui. You say to the person, the nusach vidui is in Se'if Beis. Elokai velokai avosai, refuasi misasi biyotcha, yiratum ofanecha, shetabheini refuah shlema. It doesn't say oshamnu, bagadnu. It doesn't have the standard nusach of the vidui. You get an impression that you're not mefaret the chait. You don't specify which avera you did. So the Sefer Beis Hillel says, how could you learn from Achan, who is Moel B'cheirim? How can you learn from over there? By Achan, the Pasuk writes in Sefer Yehoshua, the ten toda. Ten toda means be misvada, say exactly what it is that you did wrong. Right? It seems to be that these are different types of vidui. There's vidui that is there for tshuva. And there's vidui that is there for tzedek hadin. We want the Haruge Bezdin to do tshuva. So therefore you have to be mefaret the chait. Part of doing tshuva is that you have to articulate, you say, what I did wrong. The vidui of the Shriv Mira, says the Sefer Beis Hillel, and Rabbi Josh Hoffman, he was nifter a few years ago. He lived around the yeshiva. He was in the Kol HaOyon. Rabbi Josh Hoffman wrote a article in the Beis Yosef Shaul, which was the Kol HaOyon's Torah journal years ago, before when it was still the Gris Kol HaOyon, before it became the Wexner and the Baron Kol HaOyon. They had the Beis Yosef Shaul. So Rabbi Hoffman wrote an article about this, that you get an impression that these are two different dinim of vidui, like the Beis Hillel says. You also get this impression from the din that appears here in Shin Lamed Ches, that if a person is unable to do the vidui befiv, im eino yachol esvados befiv, the Mechaber writes, yisvade belibo. Im yaino yoteya lehisvados, omrim lo, emor te misasi kapara kavon nosai. Right? That you can do vidui belave. A vidui shriv mira, you can do belave. Regular vidui, the Rambam tells me in Hilchos Tshuva that although the inyan of tshuva, right, the Rambam famously has like two dinim. There's tshuva and there's vidui, right? Or Rav Soloveitchik used to say vidui is the maisa hamitzvah, tshuva is the kiyum hamitzvah. She yoshev lefnei Hashem v'yisvadeh. The Rambam writes that vidui has to be befeh. Tshuva, the Gemara tells me in Kedushin Memtes, a person is Mekadesh and Isha, Amenasha Nitzadek Gamor, Shema hear her tshuva belibo. Tshuva you can accomplish ayidei hirhur, but vidui requires dibur. So l'cha'ayra, right, you see from the fact that in this case, you're misvada the hirhur by the vidui, the shriv mira. Sometimes you don't do the vidui yourself, even someone says it for you because you're unable to articulate. You get the impression that these viduyim are entirely different. I have the Sefer Mishmeres Smachos by Rav Karp. The Sefer Mishmeres Smachos points out that he doesn't think that this is necessarily correct. The fact that the Yermekayim vidui al yedei hirhur could be because the Gemara in Brachos has a discussion whether hirhur is kedibur dami or hirhur is lav kedibur dami. The Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah there in the second parak of Brachos writes that although we paskin hirhur lav kedibur dami, but b'makom ones we say hirhur is kedibur dami. This guy near the end of life, it's b'makom ones mamish. So l'cha'ira we should say that hirhur is kedibur dami in this case that you can't. In this case, you can't speak. We'll say because you're an ones, hirhur is kedibur dami. There is a sefer by Rabbi Jason Wiener, who is the chaplain of a number of hospitals in Los Angeles. It's called Jewish Guide to Practical Medical Decision Making. So he discusses, let's say you have a chole who's mamish in a coma. The guy is totally mechusar yediyah. He doesn't know anything. Rahman Litzlan, the person is brain dead. You know, there is no real functioning in the mind going on. Do you say vidui? So the practice is that people around, I've done this, that the people around him, they say a vidui for the person. You go through and you say a proper vidui. That's the practice. Reb Usher Weiss paskind that you don't say vidui for this person because you're not accomplishing anything. The person is mechusar everything. He just isn't processing. There's no ingin of saying vidui. Rather, what you should do is you do the other things, b'shas yitzias neshama. We try b'shas yitzias neshama to go through yudgimu kari ha'emuna. We talk about what our fundamental in Yiddishkeit. We say like ni'ila, shema Yisrael, baruch shem kevod malchusa, shem hu alokim. These are the things that you do, b'shas yitzias neshama. Says Rav Asher Weiss, that's what you do. But to say a vidui with the person who is mechusar hakara, that vidui is not really productive. They quote Rabbi Wiener in his Sefer quotes that Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Sefer Masoras Moshe also apparently is quoted as saying this idea. Nonetheless, the minhag ha'olam is that we do a real vidui even with someone who's mechusar hakara. There is a bir halacha in Simin Shin Chav Tes, who has an interesting line about being Mechal Shabbos for Chaye Sho'a, that even the person is like Nuflal of Mapolas, like the person is under a thing of rubble. Why are you being Mechal Shabbos for the person? He's not going to make it to another Shabbos. We can't say Chal Olav Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishmer Shabbos is Harbe. So the Bir Halacha writes, it's not only Kadesh Yishmer Shabbos is Harbe, quotes in Mi'iri, the Chal Olav Shabbos Achas, and even though you know this guy's not going to be mekayim any other mitzvah, maybe he'll be mahari b'tshuva, right? Maybe that last moment, again, the guy's in a coma, when he's going to be mahari b'tshuva. So the idea might be that, like, the assumption is we don't know what a person is thinking. You can't, even though all the brain scans seem to indicate that there's, like, no brain waves, but we don't know what the person is thinking. So therefore it's proper, or therefore the minhag developed, that we do a vidui even for a person who is mechusar, and the yediyah, the practice is that we still do a vidui. One of the questions that comes up, very difficult question, let's say you have a person who is going through dementia. So the person right now has some yediyah, but the knowledge of the person is waning. The person is gradually losing knowledge? Is it kedai to say vidui with that person at that time? So I think the poskim have lengthy discussions about this. The assumption is, in these cases, you should encourage the person to do the vidui that's mentioned in the Mishnah. The vidui, what I would call like the vidui of tzaddikim, the vidui of shom yom achas lefnei misascha, the vidui that, you know, we don't know when masay yagi akita, and it's a good idea to try to do tshuva all the time, to try to say some sort of vidui, but to do the vidui of a shchiv mera at that point, the person is not a lamos, so it's probably not appropriate. I think that seems to be the discussion. Although, as we noted, the Beis Hillel comments that the vidui of the shchiv mera is different than the vidui of tshuva, nonetheless, it's proper to be mayrich bevidui. Or the Rambam writes at the end of Sif Beis, imrotz el harach bevidui kvidui yom kippurim harshus v'yada. Right? If you want to be mayrich in the vidui, it's proper. And the going over here is mitzayin, the idea that we should be, it's tov lefaret chata'av. It's good to be mefaret esachet. Again, there's a machlokas end of Yuma, whether it's lefaret chata'av or not. It's a good idea to be mefaret. That's why you do the vidui of the, that's why you do the vidui of Yom Kippur if you're able to. The Geshar Chaim writes, again, as we pointed out yesterday, every single thing in the Geshar Chaim, he talks about what you do b'shas misa. He was mekayim every single thing before the Ba'atzma, giving the 91 prutos to Tztaka, saying exactly the prakm of Tehillim, right? He made a shak on the Abedvaro, like as the last thing, it's like everything, every kutso shayud. So the Geshar Chaim writes that, you know, the Chaya Adam has a nusach, or has in the Chaya Adam, he goes through the vidui, yashamnu, bagadnu, and for every os in the vidui, he enumerates the averis that begin with an aleph, the averis that begin with a beis, etc. So the Geshar Chaim writes that that is proper to do lifnei misa. Again, that seems to be taking the vidui of Yom HaKippurim, the vidui of tshuva, and connecting it to the vidui of the shchiv mera, which sounds like we try to do as a hiddur, but the ikar hadin might be like the Beis Hillel says, that these two viduyim are fundamentally different. These are some of the comments I wanted to make about Simin Shin Lamed Ches. After, again, we're going in order, right? We're going in order that there's a din of Bikur Cholim, and then there's a din after Bikur Cholim, there's a din of someone who's not a lamos, and you say vidui, and then there's the din of a person who becomes a goses. A person becomes a goses. The din is that a goses is kechai l'chol devarav, yemachal Shabbos for a goses. But a person who's a goses, we're not allowed to be makariv misasal. You can't hasten the person's death. That's the halacha, basically, of a goses. What is a goses? It's hard to know. Yeah, Brian, you have a comment?
Yeah, I just want to clarify a couple points from before. Why does the fact that someone has a dementia in their shchiv mera make a difference?
So again, if you have dementia, but you're not yet a shchiv mera, if you have dementia and you're still a healthy person, but your memory is fading, is it kedai to do vidui because later on you won't be able to do a full vidui and the vidui ayudei hirhur is not as good as the vidui yourself? I think that's the idea.
Yeah, and also there's just another point to clarify. What was Rav Asher Weiss's svara to differentiate between Shema Yisrael and you know, Ikrei Emunah versus Vidui? I mean, if the guy's brain dead, he's not thinking straight. So why does one help and not the other?
Yes, I think the idea is that Vidui is something thinking about myself. Shema Yisrael is just to exit the world with a proper Jewish exit, to exit the world with like the Ikrei Emunah around you. The Achreinim say that you should try to have a minion around you at the end to leave the world in a proper Jewish way. But it's not that you yourself are really thinking about anything. I think that's on the idea that Reb Osher Weiss develops. Again, you could be mefalpel in everything, but I think those are his points. We're good, Brian? Judaism's good so far?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, Baruch Hashem. So, agoses. What exactly is agoses? So in the Sefer Nishmas Avram, you know, Dr. Abraham, so he asked Reb Shlomo Zalman, right? Shulchan Aruch seems to define agoses as someone who's going to die within 3 days. And the Rambam's Lashon in the Parish HaMishnah is agoses, who somebody's like coughing up, like phlegm, etc., aspirating or the like. That's the Rambam's definition of agoses. It's unclear exactly when you become a agoses. Some of the Acharonim say that the members of the Chevra Kadisha, or the doctors, know what a goses is. But Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva, even the doctors don't know. It's interesting that in the Sefer Nishmas Avram, so Dr. Abraham asked Reb Shlomo Zalman, what's a goses? Like, what's the Agdara? So Shlomo Zalman says, Atahrofe, you're the doctor. I guess he assumed that doctors, Taka, know what a goses is. It seems like we don't really know, what a goses is. That's the Pashtus. Rav Shechter in the Sefer Be'ikvei Hatzon has an essay about brain death in Halacha. We'll talk about this later on. Is the definition of death when respiration ceases? Is the definition of death when the heart stops beating? Or is the definition of death something else? In the 1960s, there's this thing called the Harvard Criteria that came out about brain death being the definition of death. Whether the halacha accepts brain death or not is a huge, huge sugya that we'll talk about later on. But Rav Shechter, in his essay in the Sefer Be'ikvei Hatzayin, Rav Shechter points out that the definition of death in halacha is when there's no blood flow to a particular aver. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about whether when someone has a gangrenous arm, or someone is paralyzed, do they wear tefillin? Do you assume that the arm is still there? So Moshe writes, my father was paralyzed, he still wore tefillin. An arm that's paralyzed, there still is blood flow to the arm, there just is no sensation. So therefore, it's as if the arm is attached to your body. However, if there's no blood flow to the arm, so then that aver is mechuser aver. The Gemara in Kiddushin speaks about yov shegapel, that but there's no mumen, by an oath, right? There's mumin, tamas v'zachros, the behema, v'ein tamas v'zachros, by an oath. So I could be makriv an oath, agabe ha-mizbeach, if there's a mum, but yav shegapo, I can't be makriv agabe ha-mizbeach, because yav shegapo means that the animal is mechusar, the wing is not there. Although the Rashba writes in Kedushin Chaf Gimel that yav shegapo is only by an oif, because the ikar oif is the ability to fly, right? And if you can't fly, you're not an oif. Nonetheless, the remotion, the pashtus in most poskim is that yav shegapo is a definition of misa for any aver, and whenever there's no blood flow, that is considered misa for that particular aver. Rav Shechter in his Sefer has a essay as follows. There are things that the halacha calls an aver shaneshama tluya ba. There's certain avarim that life depends on those avarim. There is the heart. There is the brain. There is the liver. These are the avarim shaneshama tluya bahem. If there's no blood flow to any of those avarim, so yesh lehistapek, is the person halachically considered dead? If there's no blood flow to my brain is dead. But yesh lehistapek, to be dead al pi halacha, do you need one avar, or do you need all gimel avarim? I speak about avarim shaneshama tzuliyah bahem, is death one of them, or is death three of them? If Shechter develops the idea, then his opinion, goses means that tahalich hamisa already began. Goses means that the process of death already began. Once the process of death began, so then all of these halachas set in. And the process of death begins when you have one of the evarim shaneshama tluya bahem is dead. One could argue that death means, al pi halacha, finality, is when all the gimel evarim shaneshama tluya bahem are no longer functioning. But if one of them is not functioning, that's considered a goseis. That's what Rav Shechter has in the Sefer. Again, we'll talk about this at greater length when we learn the sugya of brain death in greater detail. The dinim of a goseis.
Sorry, Rabbi, just to clarify, I thought Rav Shechter was against brain death. No,
Rav Shechter holds that brain death is a suffix death. Rabbi Tendler, we used to say in yeshiva, there were three Rashi yeshiva, three different opinions. Rabbi Tendler felt that brain death is definitely death. Rabbi Blake said brain death is definitely not death. Rav Shechter has a suffix about brain death. We pointed out also that the nafka mina is whether a brain dead person can eat tuna fish. This is Rabbi Danny Rapp's chiddush in a Purim spiel, because according to Rav Shechter, tuna fish is kosher, so you can eat tuna fish. According to Rabbi Tendler, tuna fish is treif. You can't eat tuna fish. But according to Rabbi Tendler, if you're brain dead, you're dead. So therefore, you can eat tuna fish. So whether a brain dead person can eat tuna fish, well, this is like Purim Torah from 30 years ago or whatever. It's not bad Purim Torah, no? That was the basic idea. I think Rabbi Danny Rapp had that chiddush about brain dead people eating tuna fish. Okay, whatever it is. So now, there is a mistake that people make, that they feel that because we paskin chay yeshua is you're even mechalel Shabbos for chay yeshua, so people feel that they're thank you, Jake Stern. People feel that you have to do whatever is possible to keep somebody alive, and you can't. You have to fight for every second of life. There's an organization that Agoda has called Chayim Aruchem. They mamish fight for every second of life. What we pointed out yesterday that ran in the Dorim, which we said some of the Achreinim really hold of, right? Chacham Ovadia really holds of the Ran, the Archa Shulchan holds of the Ran, that you could daven for a person to die. That means that there are times that we don't fight for every second of life. It's like funny, Reb Shlomo Zalman points out that even if you're passing like the Ran, you'll be Machal Shabbos for this person, but you're going to daven for the person to die at the same time. But that means, though, that if I'm davening for a person to die, the person is a goseis, so we don't fight for every second of life. And it says in Shulchan Aruch a distinction that we don't do things to actively hasten a person's death, but we don't do things to prolong the person's death. As such, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that you don't take the pillow out from the goseis's head. That is considered hastening the death, right? The din is you're not even supposed to touch a goseis, the Shach quotes. That might be hastening the person's death. But we don't prolong life. So therefore, if you have somebody outside who's hacking holes, you have somebody outside who's banging on wood, and that is keeping the person alive longer than the person would stay alive otherwise, so then you're allowed to stop it. So we're allowed to stop things which are prolonging death, but we're not allowed to lead to death prematurely, meaning we can't do anything active, but we can allow a person to passively die. So al pi halacha, you're allowed to sign a DNR, a do not resuscitate order. Again, assuming that you're the type of person who is nearing the end, if you're in pain, etc., life, you don't have much quality of life, you don't have much time left, etc., so then you're allowed to sign a DNR. There are halachic living wills, it's permitted to sign, but you sign them in a way that where the poskim say you can't actively do anything. What is considered active versus what is considered passive is a big discussion. If I have, let's say, a respirator that's attached, so is that actively taking away the air, or is it passive that I'm not allowing new air to come in? Most poskim assume that that's considered active, no? Just like we assume that you can't turn off the gas on Yontif, because the gas is coming from the outside, but because it's coming in the constant stream, it's considered direct Qibli. So also to pull the plug on the respirator, we assume is mamish aser, but we also would say that you don't put the person on the respirator to begin with. That would allow the person, that would be passive and allow the demise of the person to happen on its own. That seems to be the basic halacha. The problem is that although Shulchan Aruch writes that you're not supposed to put the you're not supposed to pull the pillow out from the mace, you're not supposed to put salt on the tongue, because that'll be actively doing something, etc. But you are allowed to remove the salt from the tongue. You're allowed to remove the salt from the tongue of the person. Even right, Oshayir the Ramah, the end of Sif Aleph. Im Yesh Melach al Lashono, Umaakiv Yitzias HaNefesh, Mutter LaHasira Misham. So the Shaila is, why is it mutter? Isn't that doing something active? Isn't that touching the person? And therefore, it should be problematic. So the Taz is bothered by the Kasha and Sif Katim Beis. How come Hasaras Melach is permitted? Aren't you being mazes? Aren't you moving the goses? So the Taz Paskins, you're right, don't do it. Don't be maser the melach. The Beis Lechem Yehuda on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch writes that you're allowed to be maser the melach because you weren't supposed to put the melach there in the first place. So then you can remove it. That would be a huge kula. Let's say somebody puts a person on a respirator against the person's wishes. So according to the Beis Lechem Yehuda, l'cha'era, it might be permitted to move it. That seems to be what would emerge. The Taz would say never. Beis Lechem Yehuda would say, if you did a bit iser, then you are allowed to. The Shach in the Nekudas HaKesef, however, has a different mahalach, which seems to be the most accepted mahalach in the poskim. The Shach in Nekudas HaKesef writes that to be meser melach is okay, because that is a negiya kala ma'od. It's just damazoy, a little touch. And that little touch is ninua kal kaze lav klumu. That's a lashon nekudas hakasev. Just a tiny touch is a garnished. Based on this, the achrenim say that if someone is a goses, so although we're not supposed to move the person, we paskin, by the way, the doctors can move the person, let's say, with the refuah, the nurses, if it's necessary, they know what they're doing, but someone else should not move the goses. But nianua kal is mutter, so if you want to hold the hand and you want to stroke his hand, her hand, etc., that's permitted. That's nianua kal, and that's permitted according to the shach in the Kudas HaKesa. That seems to be the halacha. This din of not moving a goses also, or dinim of tipol in a goses, also is relevant for the Ramah writes that when we deal with a goses, we don't dig a kever for the goses. This is this idea comes from the Tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid, which is printed in the beginning of the Sefer Hasidim. The Tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid says that you don't dig a grave for someone until the person is dead. If you dig a grave for a person before the person is dead, so then someone from town will end up using that grave. And the Lashon of the Tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid is that he's going to end up using the grave, I think, within 16 days or something like that. It's like a very funny, here, what's his nusach? Yeah, his nusach is, it's a, B'yamim mu'atim ates zayin yom, yomus echa mibnei ha'ir. Like, so you don't leave a grave open. You don't leave a grave open. That's the din. You can't leave the grave open to be open until tomorrow. If the grave is going to be used today, so then they say it's permitted. It's only permitted if the grave be used today, if the person doesn't know that you're digging the grave for him. If they know they're digging the grave for him, the Rivash writes in a tshuva, that is like telling the person that a relative died, that might hasten the person's demise, so you're not allowed to do that. Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank in his tshuvas writes that he was makel on digging a grave while the person is still alive. Let's say the kavura is going to be like a moment before Shabbos. A person is like nearing the end. So at that point, you are allowed to dig a grave. I don't understand why this tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid is taken seriously at all. There's a lot of funny things in the tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. It says that a son-in-law should not have the same name as a father-in-law. That's against Shas. The Gemara in Menachas Lamed Gimel has a case of a son-in-law, Rami bar Chama, and Rami bar Avuha, something like that, have the same name, Rami, father-in-law, son-in-law. It's beferish in the Gemara, that's okay. It says in the Tzavah of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, for example, that two brothers should not marry two sisters. You shouldn't have that type of relationship. There are many cases that was done. Do I take the Tzavah of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid seriously? Some people take it very seriously. And if you have a son-in-law, the same name as a father-in-law, I have this with one of my cousins, so they change the name. Right, one of them is Chaim Tzvi. The other one, they dafka, don't call Chaim at all. They dafka change to call him Tzvi in order that it should not be on the same name as a father and a son-in-law. Now, that issue might be halachic because if you have a son-in-law and a father-in-law of the same name, so the wife is not supposed to use her father's name. It's a lack of kibbut av v'aim. So if the wife says Chaim, right, you're not supposed to say Chaim because your father is named Chaim. Right, so you call him Tzvi, that solves the issue. The Noida Bihuda and the Chuvan Simonayin test, when someone asked him about this issue of two brothers marrying two sisters, all these things in the Tzavav Rebbe Yehuda HaChassid. So he says he doesn't understand why people take the Tzavav Rebbe Yehuda HaChassid seriously. Everybody knows it's only a Tzavav Lebon of Acharav. It's only for his family. It doesn't apply to anyone else. Don't take the Tzavav Rebbe Yehuda HaChassid seriously. That's what the Noida Bihuda writes. There's a tshuva in the Melamed L'Hoel and Simon Yotes. Reb David Tzvi Hoffman has a case. He talks about also this type of issue, two brothers marrying two sisters. And he tells a story. He says that there was a fellow, Reb Avram Bing, a goyin, Reb Avram Bing, who was a Talmud of Chasam Sofer. Reb Avram Bing had two brothers marrying two sisters, and the horses are on the way to the second wedding, and the horse goes meshuga and turns over, and like all of the dresses and everything from the wedding gets in the mud, and like the whole wedding is messed up. So what should you do in that case? Do you assume it's a simon min hashamayim to listen to Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid? So the Malamed L'Hoel says the Reb Avram Bing got up and he said, let's go to the chasna, let's get married, it's a patch. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid is like slapping us, we should get married anyway. Again, we don't take simanim min hashamayim seriously. That's the Melamed L'Hoel's idea. I always thought there's a student in the Melamed L'Hoel because at one point he had a discussion, do you like Hanukkah candles before Havdalah, after Havdalah, and he ended up making a mistake, so he had to light the Hanukkah candles after the Havdalah, even though he wanted to do it before the Havdalah, and he changed his mind based on what he said is a simin mashamayim. Do you take things as simin mashamayim when they happen or not? These are, these are like fun shiurim to give if you want. But the pashtus is we don't take the tzavav Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid seriously at all. Pashtus is like the Noida Bihuda. So how come in this case we take it seriously, and how come in this case we don't dig a grave for someone who is still alive? It's against the pasuk, no? Yaakov Avinu says, "Bekivri Yasher Karisi Li Be'eretz Kenaan Shama Tikbereini." Teich Dever there. What does that mean? In the grave that I dug for me in Eretz Kenaan, that's where you bury me. That means he already dug his grave. Some of the places can say, yeah, but if you dig it and then you cover it up with wood, maybe that's okay. It's unclear exactly. Shulchan Aruch does paskin like this tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, but it's not at all clear why we should ever paskin like the Tzavua of Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, anywhere. These are some of the Aros I have. One other issue that I want to talk about, maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow, just because I have to run. But so tomorrow I want to finish up some of the dinim in Shin Lamed Tes, some of the dinim of how we deal with a person right before Misa and right after Misa. These are like Chevra Kadisha issues mostly. So Bli Neder, we'll talk about them tomorrow. And Amir Tashem, tomorrow will be Shir at regular time, 12 noon. Okay, Chevra, have a great day.
Very cool question.
Yes.
How should we approach Shin Mem? Like, how long is it? Like, should we start with the Torah? Like, what's your plan?
Again, I would read the Rush in the third parak of Moed Katan about Inyan A Kriya. There's a couple of Gemaras that are there. It's like more than a couple, it's like two daf of Gemara or so. There's a lot to say. We'll try to do Shin Mem in like two Shiurim, if possible. The differences between Kriya of the Ve'ima and Kriya and Shar Kravim, etc. We'll begin to talk about Shin Mem and Mirta Hashem tomorrow. Okay, any other questions, comments, observations? Jokes. It's hard to find jokes in Hilchos Avelos, no? Okay, guys, have a great day.